What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals begin a big series tonight against the Minnesota Twins. You can hear that game right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to talk about it more here in just a couple of minutes. But begins a nine-game stretch against teams with a worse record than the Royals. They've obviously been more successful against teams with a worse record than them. But also, more importantly, they're running out of time. Clock's ticking on their set. But they'll start tonight. Seth Lugo will be on the mound for the Royals.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, of course, preseason opener tomorrow night. Chiefs, Cardinals, 96.5 The Fan. Pregame begins at 6 o'clock. Josh Briscoe begins pregame coverage. Then, of course, during the game, you'll hear Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, and Josh Klingler as the Chiefs take on those Cards. Mahomes, of course, Andy says is going to play the first quarter. We're all very skeptical. We've seen this play out. That's fine. We've seen a play out. I was trying to look up, since we're at Hollywood Casino, what the spread is for the game, if you were curious.
2.5.
If you were curious, the Chiefs tomorrow night against the Cardinals are 2.5-point favorites at -120. The total, 39.5.
Not betting the total on a preseason
game. Come out to Hollywood Casino. You can get a little, if you need a little action.
Little preseason action? That's honestly, right. At least sitting in a sports book would be the best way to watch preseason.
Oh,
give me multiple preseason games at once.
Now, do you know that underdogs are 4-0 against the spread so far in preseason, Cody? And the overs are 4-0.
Trends.
That's right.
Two noticeable
preseason
trends.
Preseason trends, baby.
Let's do a parlay maybe later. Uh-huh. Next up on What's Trending, preseason and obviously NFL news, Chargers left tackle Rashawn Slater is officially out for the season with a torn patellar knee. You might say, what, did that sound familiar? Yeah, that's the injury Josh Simmons is coming back from. Obviously, with him, Anthony Richardson dislocated his finger as well, had to leave the game last night, but could practice as early as today. Is only listed as day-to-day, according to reports. So dislocated pinky, but he'll be fine.
Lastly, on What's Trending, we all know on the Fox pregame show, Jimmy Johnson announced his retirement. And last year, they started to work in Rob Gronkowski a little bit. It's now official, according to a few reports out there, that Rob Gronkowski will take over his spot and join that crew as a studio analyst.
I mean, you know, he's an entertaining guy. I like a little energy with it. But, it should be fine. Jimmy Johnson obviously announced his retirement last year. But congrats to Rob Gronkowski, new studio analyst. Don't forget, that is What's Trending. We are live out here at Hollywood Casino until 6 o'clock. As you had mentioned, broadcasting live inside the sportsbook, where you can register to win an autographed Charles Amenihue football and a pair of Chiefs Colts tickets. Plus, Hollywood Casino every hour is going to give you a chance to win $100 in pin cash from 10 a.m. Well, was it 10 a.m.? Now, up until 6 p.m. tonight, you can still register today. Some of you might have done it yesterday on their social media channels on X, Instagram, and Facebook, but you can still do it today. So if you're up here and want a chance at $100 in pin cash every hour until 6, come out and see us here at Hollywood Casino.
All right. Every break. If you're just tuning in, every break I go to the electronic craps machine.
We started with $20.
Started with $20. We just keep going up and down. Not a good break for us. Last break, we got all the way up to $48.
Yeah.
We're back down to $23.
What happened?
Not a good break.
How many times
did
you crap out?
Three or four times.
Woo.
It was not good. It was not a good break for us. We got to get better. Yeah. We got to get better luck in the next break. I was surprised, frankly, that we had two strong breaks in a row. So this next break can make or break the whole
still
thing.
Still about even, though.
Yeah,
still,
oh, yeah.
A little up,
you know. Up $3.37. But we're getting entertainment, okay? That's what it's all about. We're getting entertainment here.
And we only got the 12:30, the 1, and the 1:30 left. So only three breaks left to go, Gold. So we'll see how we wrap up here at the end. $23.37. Up $3.37.
Yeah, that break was a frustrating break, man. The first roll was 7, so you hit, and I play pass line. So actually, first roll we hit, won $5 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay. And then after that, you know, you get the pass line, you put out about $10 on the different numbers.
7 rolls.
Craps. Then it's same thing, craps. Very quickly, $20 gone. Mm.
Kind of like our when we were in Vegas, man. It went bad for Alex and I. I was having a really
Oh, you're talking about the Super Bowl week.
Yeah, Super Bowl week. I was having a really good.
We were playing craps at a casino that doesn't even exist anymore in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they
tore it down.
I was having a really good gambling trip that time, and then Alex and I went to the craps table, and I lost it all back. I didn't lose money, but I lost a lot of my profit back. Oh, that was a tough one. Let's talk a little Royals baseball before we give our futures bets, since you're right. We're at Hollywood Casino. We're each going to give an NFL futures bet that we like. Some of them kind of longer shots, right? Certainly not even money bets. We'll do here in just a minute. But the Royals have a, I mean, you just can't sell it short. This is a massive 9-game stretch for them. They already have to go a ridiculous 29 and 17 in order to get to 86 wins, which I think is bare minimum to get a playoff spot this year. So bare minimum 86 wins. They got to go 29 and 17, 12 games above 500 with a month and a half to play, a month and three quarters. That's a lot, man. That's asking a lot, Gold. That's going to make this a huge challenge for the Royals anyway. But the next 9 games are against the Twins team, who sold their every single one of their assets. Like, they gave away half of their damn roster. And I know they got Joe Ryan going tonight. I'm not saying it's an easy task. But, like, they're up against, like, the Twins do not have. So you got to win this series. Then you get the Nationals, another team heading in the opposite direction. And then you get one of the worst teams in baseball in the Chicago White Sox. Look, you can worry about the Rangers and Tigers, who they have for a majority of the rest of this month, with another White Sox series mixed in there later. This 9 games, they have to go, and I do mean minimum 6-3. Other than that, how can you look at yourself in the mirror at the end of these 9 games and say this is a playoff team?
Yeah,
seriously, how can you? Slow walk everybody if that's the point. Don't rush back Jack Caglione. Don't rush back Cole Reagan. Don't rush anybody back, and just take your sweet-ass time the rest of the year if you're not going 6-3.
I think it's very obvious that if you're going to get hot, as we said yesterday, this is the stretch. It has to happen. And I know in a typical baseball series, because you see a Twins team that just beat the Tigers, anything can happen, and you're like, oh, expecting a sweep or whatever is not fair. Well, that's the spot they've put themselves in, that they have to have one of those weeks or 2 weeks where they go out and they win 8 of 9, 7 of 9. I agree with you that the bare minimum should be 6-3. And normally in May, if I told you they had a 500 road trip or something, you're fine. Not anymore. They that cannot happen anymore. They have to start making up some serious,
great teams, fine,
some serious ground, knowing that also this month they still play the Tigers 6 times, I believe.
They do, and the White Sox for 3 more.
You know, and it's the amount of teams in front of you. The Twins are not in front of you. Then you play a Nationals team that's obviously not in front of you. They're in the NL. They're not any good. And you have the White Sox. They're not any good. And so even if you go 6-3, you may not make up that many games on the teams in front of you. That's why we're saying, honestly, 7-2. You have to get hot at some point. If you think you're going to finish the rest of the way, you know, 10 games above 500, there has to be a stretch somewhere where you win 7 of 9.
You got to sweep either the
or 8
Twins
of
or the
10.
White Sox.
And this is the stretch, I think, if it's going to happen, this is it right here. And they are underdogs tonight, by the way, because Joe Ryan is pitching. Right now at Hollywood Casino, if you're trying to bet on the game, you can get the Royals at plus money, slightly plus money to win.
That feels like the bet then, maybe. If I'm feeling like they have to do it, I mean, they have to feel like their backs are against the wall, right?
I think they're well aware of what they're up against.
Honestly, though, this has been part of the problem. I actually think, Gold, this kind of drives to a deeper point that I'm hoping that they can overcome as they learn to win and continue to be a team that I hope continues to win. Because I think part of what happened to them this year was the pressure of being a good team. And then when we talked about it earlier with Jake Eisenberg about the base running stuff, that is a direct relation to me to a team that can't score runs. They make mistakes in scoring runs because they feel pressure to score runs because they're a bad offense. And because they put so much pressure on them, if they look at this, the problem is for them, if they look at this 9-game stretch and they tell themselves, we got to win 6, well, then I don't think that's going to go the way. They have to find a way to play free and easy. And the only way to play free and easy, or to not feel like every single night is must win, not win 6 of the next 9, but we have so little leeway that if we don't win every damn night against the Texas Rangers, we're losing. If we don't win every night against the Reds, then we're losing the playoffs. If you don't want to feel that way, well, then just play good against bad teams, because that's what you got. Bad teams. Straight up bad teams. And so, like, this should be, and like, maybe the Twins are mediocre, if at best.
Yeah, the dangerous thing, what makes them...
They beat the Tigers in a series after they traded everyone away.
The part that makes them dangerous is they've got a bunch of young players that are trying to prove themselves to stay on the roster next year.
Yeah.
They got, I mean, look, there's a few names you know. Rookie, Brooks Lee, Byron Buxton's been hurt. But there's a bunch of names in the lineup that nobody's ever heard of, and those are guys that are trying to earn their keep for 2026. And so for them, the young players, they don't care what happened in April and May and June and that the team sold off. So I don't think we should think this is like some automatic this week. And in fact, I'm actually slightly concerned that as much as we're talking about the Twins not being good and
series,
all this, that we're going to be here on Monday and say,
yeah,
well,
I'm worried about it.
All right, that's it. Like, that's the dangerous thing about baseball. It would not shock me one bit if the Royals didn't win this series this weekend.
No, that was how we were talking about the Marlins series a little bit, which was a big one, and they ended up getting swept by them. Marlins have actually played really good baseball since that time. They've been one of the – couple of months they've been a better team. Look, they played okay against the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. 3-3 against two teams who have two of the better records who are playing as good as anyone in baseball is not embarrassing. Like, if you were – here's the thing. If you were 10 games above 500, I'd be really happy with that road trip. I would have come in here after that Red Sox series and been like, look at them go. Look what they did. They managed to hold water against two really good baseball teams. But they're not in that position. And they haven't been in that position for a while. But they also haven't had a stretch this easy in a while. This is the easiest stretch of baseball they're going to get probably, I imagine, without looking at the schedule, this is the easiest stretch of baseball they're going to get the rest of the way. And because it won't matter if they got a stretch
in the middle of September. Look at the teams that are ahead of them and who they have this weekend, too. I mean, that's the other part of this. The Yankees are ahead of the Royals. They have the Astros this weekend. That's a tough team. Not that we're looking at the division, but still, Tigers are playing the Angels this weekend. Yeah, you have a Cleveland team who gets the White Sox this weekend. The Rangers have a tough team in the Phillies. That's obviously a good, hopefully, thing for that. And then the big one, Red Sox are playing the Padres this weekend. The Padres are favorites tonight as well. Over at ESPN Bet, Boston's a plus 145 dog. If you can get the Padres to sweep somehow the Boston Red Sox this weekend, oh, man, while you take 2 or 3 for the Twins, that's the kind of stuff that's going to have to happen if you think this team is truly going to be in the postseason.
Truth is, to get the 6 of 9, and I'm gonna view it that way. I reserve now, I'll view it that way. You lose, you get swept by the Twins, but you win the next 6. You win 2 out of 3, lose 2 out of 3, then sweep. I don't care how you do the 6 out of the next 9.
Right.
I don't care the order in which you take it, because then they'll be at home against the Rangers, a team directly will still likely be directly in front of them in the playoffs.
You and I both know, for whatever reason, whenever we've talked about, oh, the Royals are coming back home, they got a massive homestand, and crowds should be great, for whatever reason, letdown city. Letdown city at that point in time. And so that's the other thing. So I actually think it's big for them to not only win the series for the obvious, but also heading into this homestand, because I don't think you can bank on it just automatically being a great one. Whenever there's been, like, early in the year, we're like, oh, it's a huge series against the Guardians. What do? They lay an egg in that series. They, for whatever reason, when the pressure is on at home against quality teams, they have not had good performances when they've had some of their biggest crowds of the season. And they have a chance this week. If they go and win a series against Minnesota, there's a chance. I know it's a weekday series against the Nationals, then the White Sox over the weekend. That White Sox series this next weekend, the 15th, even though it's Chicago, that could be some big attendance nights out at Kauffman if everything comes together for them.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be. It very well could be.
Plus, you see the promos we got? I mean,
you know. Water bottle giveaway.
Yeah, I think there's a lunchbox giveaway coming up.
It's teacher stuff.
Soccer jersey giveaway.
Stuff.
There's a Casey Kurt like soccer jersey giveaway on
Tuesday. I kind of want the
Tuesday.
Thermos. I kind of want the Slugger thermos, even if it's for kids.
You would. It says fans 14 and under, Cody.
I can take my. I have kids.
You can't get one. No, it's your kids. It's not yours. Kids 14 and under.
My kids aren't even like big sports fans yet. I'm dead serious. We were sitting in the backyard maybe a couple of weeks ago. And Desmond loves playing wiffle ball in the backyard, right? So he likes playing wiffle ball in the backyard, and I'll just toss him the baseball. He won't ever let me hit, but he wants to hit, and so we throw the ball a lot. And I was trying to give him a little bit of advice, a little like, hey, you should try not to spin around. It was simple advice, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to spin around when you're swinging at it. And he was like, no, you don't know anything about baseball. And I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, hey, let me do you a favor. I want you want to work on your hitting? I'll call Vinny Pasquantino, the Royals' first baseman, and I'll ask him to give you a piece of hitting advice. And he looked me dead in the eye and said, nah, I don't want to talk to Vinny about his hitting. I'm like, you know what? You guys don't even appreciate
it. He doesn't care about baseball or sports right now.
Well, he wants to play. He wants to play the baseball. He actually, we're signing him up for tennis, I told you.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to start tennis. He said maybe baseball. I'm trying not to force him into liking sports just because I do it for a living, you know? It's a tough spot. Let's get a little bit of music, though, Drew. A little NFL music. As each of us, we're at Hollywood Casino.
Yes.
We're in a gambling mindset a little bit. Gold's been betting the craps over there for us in the break. So let's give a season-long bet that we like. A future, if you will. Gold, I'll let you fire things off first.
Yes.
I know you already have some of these placed. I just placed the one I'm getting ready to tell you this morning.
Yeah, so, of course, you can make these here at Hollywood Casino. One of them is an AFC West order of finish. So I already liked the Broncos to finish second before the Rashawn Slater news. We actually were talking about that earlier in the week, that I'm a more of a believer in Denver than L.A. Now, obviously, I feel even more strongly about that because of the Rashawn Slater news. So you can do a bet for the future of this season where you have the AFC West order of finish. Chiefs to finish first, Broncos second, Chargers third, Raiders fourth. That's plus 550. My only scare here is there a scenario where the Chargers just completely fall off and the Raiders shock everybody and finish third? I guess there's a scenario. I don't think the Chargers are going to just fall off a cliff and be a 7-win team, though. So order of finish, 5.5-1. Chiefs won the division. Broncos finish second. Chargers third. Raiders fourth.
Ooh, so the exact order. You get
it 550? That's the exact order. Yep, plus 550.
I actually don't hate that. Do the Raiders and Chargers one worry you at all if the Chargers have
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one that would get me, I think. I feel pretty darn confident the Chiefs and Broncos are 1-2.
So, okay. That's interesting. I mean, I don't mind that. Plus 550. I mean, I like the Chiefs at one, obviously. You know that. Mm-hmm. And I like the Broncos to finish second at this. I mean, if I wasn't already leaning that way, I don't know why I wouldn't be leaning that way now that Rashawn Slater is out for the season for them. Okay, so that's yours. Here's mine. I was looking at it just from like a who's a player who certainly everybody knows but isn't, but I'm getting good odds on across the board. I like, as a future bet, and placed it this morning at Hollywood Casino, Bijan Robinson to lead the league in rushing. He finished with almost 1,500 yards last year. That was third in the NFL. He finished only behind Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. And look, I've watched football long enough. Guys who had 2,000 yards rushing the year before do not have 2,000 yards rushing the following year. It just doesn't work that way. The math doesn't math that way. He's not going to have 2,000 yards rushing. Derrick Henry also had 1,900 yards last year. I don't think he's doing that 2 years in a row. And Bijan, a young running back, less likely, in my opinion, to be injured under that thing. And they're going to try to help Penix out a lot in the running game. So I just think they're going to hand the ball off a lot. So I like Bijan Robinson because I can get it at 11-1 to lead the league in rushing over Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. He's third last year, and he was about 400, 500 yards behind.
Yeah, a little outside the box. I like it. I always am concerned just with how much the usage will continue for Bijan now with this regime. Last year they showed they would use him. Raheem Morris, they would use him in the red zone. So much of this is dependent on what do I think Michael Penix is going to be, you know? Because is that team going to be really competitive this year and not be behind in games and they're going to be able to truly run the game plan that they want? And all of that last year, remember, half that year was Kirk Cousins still. So this, to me, is also more about how much do you believe in Michael Penix. And to me, if you're going to make that bet, it means you think Michael Penix is going to have the Falcons competitive.
I do. I'm not down on Michael Penix. They were really high on him. I just don't think,
is Derrick Henry and Barkley, are they going to have, you know, even if they fall off, are they going to rush for 800 yards less? I don't know about that.
That 800, they only have to rush for 400 yards less in Derrick Henry's case or 500 less in Saquon's case. And look, I mean,
and Bijan would have to stay.
Here's the other part.
You know,
historically, guys who rush for 2,000 yards aren't just down the next year. They're way down because they just ran their bodies into the ground.
Yes.
And Derrick Henry's old, dude. I don't think he's.
No, I'm just saying, like, Derrick Henry had 2,000, then 1,900 in back-to-back years, I think, or whatever. But yes, he's an outlier.
Saquon's just so crazy because he, if you took every season that wasn't Saquon's year last year, Bijan Robinson's last year would have beat him by 200 yards at least in his second best year. So in every other year, Bijan's year is good enough to beat Saquon Barkley, except last year, which is, honest to God, last year's the outlier year. Now, it was his first year in Philly, and obviously they can run, and with Jalen Hurts they can run. I'm just telling you, he's never run for more than 1,300 yards except for the one time he did it, which was last year. Derrick Henry actually has probably been more on the higher end of that figure more consistently.
I know your answer. You said Bijan. But I would say, who would you – if I gave you the option of – these are guys with further odds as well. So, like, Jonathan Taylor is actually 9-1. Jahmyr Gibbs, 11-1. Christian McCaffrey, 12-1. Out of that group, you would take the field, or would you take Bijan if I gave you the field option?
I'd probably take the field.
Like, of those three, Taylor, Gibbs, McCaffrey, or Bijan.
I'd probably take the field just thinking Taylor, maybe. Yeah, the numbers game. I was looking at it. Derrick Henry once led the league in rushing back-to-back years, but it was 1,500 in 2000. So, like, again, Bijan's number last year could lead the league
Ashton Jeansey at 17-1 is awfully interesting. That's a team that's not going to be that good, but Pete Carroll loves to run the football.
Stinks, though, man. Stinks.
We'll see.
You like their offensive line enough? I'm not basing on the preseason.
Yeah.
Game,
no, I mean, look, deep down, I still think Barkley or Henry's probably finishing 1-2. But further down the board, I get your case for Bijan. Gentee's interesting at 17-1. That's all. Drew, what about you? What do you have?
So mine is actually the longest odds, ironically enough. I'm similar to you, Gold. I'm doing an order of finish. I'm doing the AFC South, though. Texans, Jags, Titans, Colts, plus 1,200.
So you have the Titans ahead of the Colts. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm buying into the Cam Ward stuff a little bit. And just given the Colts situation with Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, part of me is just not drinking the Kool-Aid that they're going to be fully equipped to not finish last in the division. 6-11, 5-12.
What's the payout on that, you said?
12-1.
12-1?
I got to be honest. There's part of me. My biggest fear with you, Drew, is I'm not even sure who's finishing first in that division.
Yeah, the Jags might finish first.
Let alone being forced into choosing all four of those teams.
Yeah,
I don't have any damn idea.
That division could have – I mean, there's –
anybody could finish in any order in that division, I wouldn't be. Other than the Texans, I don't think will finish last. That's the only thing I think I know about the AFC South. The Texans won't finish last.
And the Titans, to me, won't finish first. Those would be the only two that I know. It's 12-1 for a reason. He's taking a flyer. I like it.
I don't know that for sure if Cam Ward's great.
Yeah, it's
a
tough bet.
What if he's just C.J. Stroud in his rookie year?
Yeah, it's a tough bet.
Okay, so Texans, Jags, Titans, Colts in that order. That's your pick?
Drew has, yes. Someone was asking real quick. They said, what's Pacheco to lead the league in rushing? Don't waste your money, but 80-1.
Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing one year.
Stop.
With Andy Reid?
Stop. Just donate your money
to me. I'm just letting you know what happened.
Just donate your money to me, please.
You'll take the bet?
I will take
the
bet.
Will you give him those odds?
No. Oh, yes, but you're just like a book will cap what you can bet. You can't bet 1,000.
They won't let you. Know what I mean? You'll let someone bet like 30 bucks on you or whatever.
Something.
You'll take their 30 bucks.
Isaiah Pacheco is not leading the NFL in rushing. Sorry. And I'm a big fan of Isaiah Pacheco, but there is not a world in which he leads all running backs in football in rushing. He hasn't had 1,000 yards yet, so no.
Would Ash and Gentee be your choice if you had anyone?
Yes, at 17.
That wasn't the two main guys, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know which one you would go with. You can make that bet. We're here at Hollywood Casino. We have a chance to win $100 in pin cash every hour on the hour. They'll contact you, obviously, via the app. You'll have a chance to do that over here at Hollywood Casinos. We're broadcasting until 6 o'clock today as part of the fan takeover. So come out and see us here at Hollywood Casino. Also a chance to register to win a autographed Charles and Minnehue football, a Chiefs-Colts game tickets in case you want to get out to a game. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's a good
Bacon
time,
Rob will take over at 2 o'clock as well when the drive gets on the air. So a perfect day to head out on a Friday as well. Maybe you're getting out of work a little bit early, want to hang out, take in some games. I think there's some afternoon baseball coming up in a couple hours as well. Up next, though, let's talk about some injuries in the AFC West a little bit more, plus the random question of the day on 96.5 The Fan. Continue broadcasting live out at Hollywood Casino. It is the fan takeover day. We're out here till 2, then the drive is here from 2 to 6. Don't forget to stop on by. Your chance to win some Chiefs-Colts tickets. Game coming up, I believe that one is in November, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's like November 23rd or so. Chiefs-Colts out at Arrowhead, plus a chance to win a autographed Charles Minnehue football. I told you earlier, I think he might have 10 sacks this season. He could be in for a big year. And our friends over at Hollywood Casino are also giving away $100 in pin cash every hour that we are out here broadcasting. So till 6 o'clock today. I do have an update on the craps during the break, okay?
How'd we do?
We went back to the electronic craps. Every break we are playing it. We're up and down. We're back up again. We're up to 35-25.
Ooh.
So we were at 48, then down to 23. Now we're back up to 35, all right? So it's a good. That was a much better break for us.
Not bad. Okay. So you actually.
I only have two more breaks to do it. So we'll see. Will I finish up before the day is over?
So far, you're up $15.
We are.
So not bad. Not bad. Come out and see us. Come on. We're going to be here till 6. Jay Binkley loves company. Do not leave our
Bink
man
is
hanging
gonna
at
be,
2 o'clock.
Bink is going to be filling in for
Get
C-Dot.
Your weekend
That's
started
true.
Early. Should we be going to the casino bar for a fan club Friday?
We might have to go up to the bar and see if we can't get a cocktail. We might have to do that. We'll see if we can talk some folks. Maybe we should get a drink ready for fan club coming up in a half hour. So if you have never been to the Sportsbook, also you should just check it out. It's
super nice.
in the Midwest region, it is the nicest sportsbook. I have been to other sportsbooks in Iowa long before it launched in Kansas and stuff. This is the nicest sportsbook in the Midwest area. It's not close, okay? And so it's a really nice setup. If you're looking to watch some college football, if you're looking to watch NFL Sunday.
What are you talking about? Fantasy football draft?
Fantasy football draft. They have the recliners here are very, very comfortable. There's plenty of room. You could actually have your buddies come out here and do a full-blown fantasy football draft as well. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about where you're going to draft this upcoming football season. A lot of leagues are already doing their fantasy football drafts. We'll get to your random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so, but we definitely have to talk about the injuries yesterday, most notably Rashawn Slater, the left tackle for the Chargers, done for the season. Patellar tendon injury. Drew, as you always told us, multiple times in the past.
Oh, yeah. Can we hear that one more time? What is it about?
Patellar tendon, man, that's not something you joke about, right? Right, Drew?
There's no way.
I know the patellar tendon, obviously, is nothing to joke about.
That's right. That is right.
Drew said that on a previous episode.
We don't play about the patellar tendon.
That's right. It's a very serious injury, devastating for the Chargers and for Rashawn Slater. Only saving grace for him personally is he did just get the contract done. So if, let's say, he wasn't able to actually get back to playing football, and I hope that's not the case, but if it is, at least financially, he's not getting completely screwed in that regard, because this is why guys wait to not practice, to get their deals. They were not going to practice because they want to get their deal in case they get hurt. But I do think it's a big problem for the Chargers, who have to move around some pieces on the O-line now, for a team that if you thought they were going to push the Chiefs and also be a 13-plus win team.
How they can do that without one of their third most important player?
And they don't have the quarterback to just make up for it on a given two-minute drive. Like, I like Justin Herbert, but that's the difference. You can say, well, the Chiefs didn't have a good offensive line, and they still won 15 games. Well, they have a better head coach, and they have a quarterback that, even though the stats aren't great, when it matters most on a game-winning drive, he's going to make the play. And I'm not sure Justin Herbert is going to do that.
Well, and I still have, maybe their rookie running back will work out, but I still have Amari and Hampton might still be the goods. But what if he's not? Then what are their weapons on offense? It is just Ladd McConkey and an aging Keenan Allen who hasn't stayed healthy in a decade. And so, if you think he's getting through the entire regular season, good luck. And so, Rashawn Slater, I would legitimately, if I broke down their entire roster, I think he's their third or fourth most important player. He is only behind Justin Herbert, Ladd McConkey, and probably their leading edge guy. Without looking, either their leading edge guy or Rashawn Slater, co-tied for third on the roster the way it sits right now. And so, yeah, I think if you were looking at it, and this is what happened a couple of years ago. This is just always a good reminder. 2 years ago, on this show, I said it, you said it. Nationally, people were saying it. We went into the year saying, this is the best division in football, Gold.
Right.
Watch out. Here they can't come. Colin Cowherd on his show yesterday when he was describing why he thought the Chiefs dynasty was over. His specific citing of that before the Rashawn Slater injury was the division is too good. Competition is too good. When teams dominate, like when Nick Saban was great at Alabama, it was a downtime for LSU and Georgia. You have to be in the middle of downtimes for people. In addition to, it's why the Patriots run lasted so long. Nobody in the AFC East was ever any good. But right now, the division is made up of saying it's too good now. It could be good. It could be a very good division. But saying that right now like it's a fact, I think, is fool's gold. The only team you know is good as the Chiefs. The Raiders appear to be better on paper because they appear to be competent with Geno Smith and Pete Carroll. We're banking on the Broncos being better, on pretending like no second-year quarterback has ever regressed in the history of the NFL, and a Chargers team who lost their starting left tackle. I'm not saying I think the division will be good, but pretending like it's the best division in football just because on paper they look good is a far cry from knowing.
I still think it has a chance to be the best division in football, even with Rashawn Slater being hurt. If you think the Chiefs are going to win 13 games, I think the Broncos absolutely can be an 11-win team or so, and the Chargers, to me, still are a 9-10-win team. And you compare that to some of these other teams. The difference, the reason why it is because the Raiders at the bottom of the division, not that they get a trophy for this, but the Raiders will be the best worst-place team in their division, okay?
Oh, man. I got to think about that really hard.
That maybe the Cardinals can push them in the West, okay? In the NFC West, that is. Other than that, I believe the Raiders will be the worst, best team in their division.
I would guess I would probably take the best worst team. Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. I would probably take the Cardinals in that. Oh, man, could you imagine if that was a bet? Could you imagine if you could just make a bet on
who has the best record to finish the worst place
division team?
Well, let me honestly, like, go through it. AFC East, Dolphins, Jets. Okay, the Raiders are going to be better than one of those teams, all right? The AFC North, they're going to be better than the Browns. The AFC West, we obviously just said, is the Raiders. The AFC South, I think they will be better than the Colts or Titans or whoever you think finishes worse there. NFC
probably.
South is the question. I think Carolina is still not going to have necessarily the last.
Well, could they have as many wins as the Raiders? Maybe they have six wins.
But the Saints, the Saints will be the worst team in the South.
Yeah, the
they'll be better than the Saints. NFC East, they're going to be better than. Are they going to be better than the Giants? That's the one. I think they will be.
So the Cardinals over-under is 8.5. So, like, I'm going to guess that the Raiders' number is not way better than that. That'd be your probably closest argument outside of the one I just mentioned.
It's just the Cardinals.
7.5. Yeah. So they think that the Raiders are worse than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they might very well be. But, I mean, that's just a floor stuff. And floor stuff doesn't bother me when it comes to the division as far as the Chiefs' ability to win it. But for the conversation of best division in football – your floor certainly matters.
Your worst team will be better than everybody else's worst team.
Like in the North, right? Last year, the worst team in the division was the Chicago Bears. And they at least could give you a fight on a random Sunday every once in a while. You know, versus the Raiders last year were just waiting to...
I guess that's another... That'd be the only other team. Who do you think finishes last in the AFC North?
I mean, the argument's the Bears.
And will the Bears have a better record? I don't think the Bears are going to... I think the Bears are a 9-win football team. I'm not sure the Raiders get there. So I guess that'd be the three. Raiders, Cardinals, Bears. Those are the three worst teams in their division.
I always think of sometimes, like, I would take the trade-off of best division in football.
Yeah.
Is if you had one doormat gold... but two super teams, I don't care that you got a doormat. I don't care if the Chicago Bears win 5 games. If you've got two teams in week 18 playing for the number one overall seed against each other, that's the best division in football. I don't think the Chiefs have that kind of competition.
Do you agree with the texter? Someone says that the Raiders might have a banner out in Allegiant Stadium for the best worst team. Best team to finish last in their division in 2025.
When Gold and I were... And right when they were building that stadium, we tried for a little while. We were trying
to get
a sponsor. We wanted to get a brick to secretly mention Patrick Mahomes and one of their legacy brick programs there at the stadium because I just thought it'd be funny.
It obviously would have had to been a secret message. They're not going to put one that says Mahomes or 15. It would have had to have some deeper meaning that Chiefs fans would know that we would have to fill people in on when they go out to Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, it would have had to. Yes,
but
absolutely.
We didn't do it. We didn't want to give the Raiders any money, honestly, is what happened. I don't want to give them money.
You didn't want to give them cash? Why not?
No, I'm not giving the Raiders any money.
No.
I love Vegas. You know that. We're going to be out there in like 10 days. Can't wait. But no, I don't give money to the Raiders.
When do we do what time in the show? We're getting close to the time of year where we got to announce our division winners. We doing that week of?
Oh, I think
NFL week of or week before?
Yeah, I think we do it that Tuesday or Wednesday of game week.
I like waiting until at least we've gotten through some
Tuesday,
of the injuries,
Wednesday, game
you know?
Week. We can do some other bet stuff, obviously, over the next few weeks. But I think Tuesday, Wednesday, we lay out our division. We lay out, obviously, like everybody does, your AFC champs, NFC champs. Drew will have the Bengals in the postseason. You and I will probably not. We'll see.
I'm not going to have the Bengals in the postseason.
I'm on the fence.
It's not even to pick on Drew. I don't think they're a playoff team.
I'm on the fence. I am on the fence, admittedly. I think because there was some things that just were bad breaks for them in those games in which they even were playing like
crap. Yeah, they were bad in one-score games.
So I think if they flip one or two of those, then all of a sudden they're a playoff team. I think they'll be in a lot of those games again, but my guess is one goes their way and suddenly they're the 7th seed wild card and they're playing a wild card game, and everybody will act like they're the most dangerous football team on earth, even though they won 10 games. But I think that's what's going to happen.
My whole thing with them is that they did not do anything to address their single biggest issue. The reason I think the biggest reason I would say they could be a playoff team is bad schedule. They get to play an easy schedule, so they can play worse against bad teams and still have some success. But they do still have 4 games against teams in their own division that are going to be difficult to win, and so that becomes a bit of a challenge. I don't know, man. And it also, I think it depends on how many teams you think out of the AFC West are going. for the same conversation we just had. If I asked you today, we don't have to make our official predictions, but if I asked you today how many teams out of the AFC West are going to the playoffs, what's your answer?
At least two.
At least two. Because if you think it's three, then Cincinnati's ass ain't going. Because Baltimore's roster is too good.
Chiefs and Broncos, to me, are my two picks for sure. The Chargers would be that fringe team. Again,
I will
be talking
say.
About them or a team like Cincy. Or is the AFC East going to have just the Bills, or are the Patriots or Dolphins going to surprise people?
I guess the other part is the AFC North even that good? Like, the Ravens are good.
Oh, it's very competitive. Yes, it is. It's
the
very
Steelers,
competitive. They have two of the top five quarterbacks in football in the division.
Yeah. I mean, that part. But, like, that's me including Cincinnati. Did you guys watch that cone? Did you watch that cone drill from Aaron Rodgers? Have you ever seen someone move slower?
Yeah, I just don't read into the camp video stuff, because by that account, people are freaking out about Caleb Williams, too.
I didn't see that.
Just don't put a lot of stock into
what was wrong with the Caleb Williams?
He just didn't look sharp on his accuracy.
Rodgers is looking even moving him.
We know Rodgers moves slow. Like, nobody's saying he's moving out. He's going to be well protected, though, with that Steelers offensive line.
But it was this. Look like a seven-year-old man.
I saw the video. That's from a couple days ago. Yeah.
My God, man.
I saw it. No, I saw the video.
Can you move with a little gusto? Yeah,
but if you get to Rodgers, you're going to sack him. The question is, does he get the ball out quick enough? Does he make the right decision? Does the arm still have zip? I don't think he's going to be a disaster. I'm not high on the Steelers, but I also don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be terrible.
Let's get to it, Drew.
Random question.
Of course, the random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can always hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Even on these days, we're on remote. We bring you a live product over on YouTube. Like and subscribe over there or on Twitch. Find that. That way you can consume this wherever you want, from your desk, from your laptop, from your tablet, over there on the video streams as well. We'll be back in studio starting next Wednesday. Still a big camp next Monday and Tuesday. We're at a casino. We're in a gambling mindset. We were already talking about that. So the random question I have for you today is, what is the single largest amount of money you have won in a single thing? So I don't want I played poker all night and played 78 hands and won blank. Oh. I want a single hand of poker, a single bet. It could be a parlay, single bet, single hand of poker, single roll of craps, right? I'll give you a crap session maybe just because, you know, I want to know the single most amount you've won wagering in a moment.
It has to be a wager. It has to be a wager. It can't
just
be Well, I mean, is the card, like pulling a card that's worth suddenly $5,000 count?
I'll allow the card. You know, for the point of the random question,
it's either that,
a lottery ticket, I'll allow the card.
Whatever the Caitlin Clark card sells for is going to be more than my biggest casino win, assuming it's over $2,500, which it already is. Because I played roulette many, many years ago, and I won $1,400 off of one spin.
Ooh.
That's the biggest, like, just
what did you
casino,
have on a single number?
This was at a different casino many, many years ago.
It could be Hollywood for the sake of
It was right here. It was right here.
Right here, Hollywood Casino.
It was on a Friday night, and it was probably in 2017, 16. I mean, it was a ways, long ago.
Okay.
And, I played. It was number 17 and 20, and I had money on 17, 20, and in the middle, just loaded up on the middle. And everybody at the table was playing it. It was like, everybody's like, let's just go all in on this together.
And everybody hit?
The whole table destroyed.
Oh, man.
So that would be the answer for that.
There's no
otherwise, it's the card. A Clark card you pull, and it ends up being potentially worth $5,000+.
I don't think that there's any more fun gambling as a group than when everybody's winning at craps. Like, everyone's sitting around the table, Gold, and winning at craps. The most I've ever won at craps was around $1,500.
Okay.
And that was that same story I've told in the air when I was playing between Andrew Jones and Trent Green, and we just got a hot shooter. And the three of us sat there and cashed in for a little bit, and I won on, like, a single roll because at some point I was up big. I hit a hard eight on, like, a single bet that was good for, like, $1,000 because, like, I had bet way too much on it because we were already up and I had taken some money off the table. So that would have been the one. In a single hand of poker, I once won $1,100 against a guy who was the most reckless gambler I've ever met in my entire life. I was playing stakes way above my means, and we played a single hand. I had aces before the flop, and he had, I swear to God, it was like 6-3 offsuit. He had calmed me down with pre-flop.
What?
Pre-flop.
What?
Dude, he was reckless. And I won $1,100 on a single. That one's way up there.
You see these texts coming in. This one
1,000 on a bingo game? Bingo.
Someone says 1,600 on their first parlay ever when sports betting went legal in Kansas.
Oh, they did one of those free bet?
They did it on an NFL season opener. Obviously, please gamble responsibly, but that's a hell of a win right there.
Our friend Sam McDowell, he one time at the casino won the bad bet jackpot for like tens of thousands of dollars on the bad bet jackpot, I remember.
How about this? Played a video game, someone says, in 2004 on a PC called America's Army, okay? They were in the 4v4 finals, and they won $50,000 split it four ways.
What? Man, that's cool.
That was before esports blew up. You were playing esports before it was really a thing.
An esports team reached out to me and asked if they could put the Cody and Gold logo on there.
Did they really?
On their esports race car.
I love it.
I said, we're in. I didn't even ask your permission. I just said, yes.
Good decision. Someone says, how much of the Caitlin Clark card money makes it the show fund? Zero.
Zero. That's Gold's money.
Zero. Like, is that the rule now? Like, anytime Cody ever wins,
I would cash flush.
Yeah, sorry. Zero. Zero.
I didn't make, normally I like to guilt you into things, but that's not one of those. Someone says they watched their brother-in-law lose $7,000 in 6 minutes at a blackjack table.
Jeez.
Once. I'm talking about winning.
Yikes.
Someone said they won $1,000 off a $1 scratch-off ticket Christmas Eve 1 year. Won $1,200 on Kansas State winning the Big 12 on a $100 free bet. Man, so many good ones. The sports wagering, when all that was legal,
true.
Do
you have an answer?
Yeah, what is yours?
I think we were with you when you won a little bit of money too. But do you have another one?
I won more money. So the Taylor Swift one, I can't remember exactly how much. I did the Red 13 and I hit, but I did a. This is
that's right.
2021. I think I did a $20 bet, Nuggets Lakers playoff series, and I won $850.
Nice. That's a really nice hit. There you go. Someone on the text line asking, when is Missouri going to go live with sports betting? By December 1st. Yep. Someone asked, will you have betting during this football season? Yes. You have to wait towards the end of it, but yes, we will have betting for those of you on the Missouri side as well. That'll be a thing. That'll absolutely be a thing.
Over on Twitch, why not set a parlay for 43? You've hit a couple of big parlays.
Those
are going to be some of your bigger wins.
I had a
1,800?
1,800 and a 2,400.
So those are up there, too. That's, like, right there with the Caitlin Clark one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Clark's already above that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing is, like, it's at 2,750 and tomorrow night. I'm hoping it ends up above 5. Man, I'm getting nervous about that one tomorrow. It's going to be slow until the final, like, hour, I think. And then even then, will it get to 5? We'll obviously talk about it on Monday. I'll put out the final bit amount on social, but we'll see, man.
We'll talk about it on Monday. There's no question. So, Drew, you're not – it doesn't sound like earlier on the text line, I saw Drew, we were talking about they were refilling the ATM machine next to us. So they had big bricks of cash.
I mean, just bricks of cash stacked up to our left.
And
by
I was
the
talking
machine.
About like the physical amount of money you've held that was the most. And I'd said, like, for me, it was like 100,000 or, I don't know, 150,000 or something.
Well, yeah, you were kind
of bank. Drew responded with the most money he's ever had in his hand at one time was $400.
It doesn't have to be your money.
I think max.
Money.
Not
anybody's money?
No, I understand. The most I think I've ever held in my hand is $400.
I've ever held in the hand of my money? I'm trying to think about like, it.
I think that's the max that I've ever
held. I sold a house. I didn't have it in cash. It was just on a
I've seen
account.
More, but yeah, I haven't held it.
Until I used it to buy a different house.
Yeah.
I had it for all of like a couple of weeks. Okay, so you're saying you've seen more, but the most you've ever physically held is $400.
Yes.
I'm going to change that. I'm just going to bring $500 in so Drew can up his number. What, you know? Just
okay.
Hold it for a little bit.
You want him just to hold it?
All right.
Just hold it.
All right.
That's weird.
Just hold it for a little bit.
You just want to – that's okay.
Hey, you know, we don't live in a cash world anymore,
that's
you know?
True. That's true. But cash is king still. Cash is
I love having cash.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's weird or not, but
it's still a great feeling when you have a bunch of cash in your pocket. It's just a great feeling.
It's better than in other forms.
Absolutely. Nobody will ever commit $1,000 in cash feels better than $1,000.
When you get the Caitlin Clark, get it all in cash and spread it out just for once.
Well, it's going to go straight to my bank account.
Get it out.
You want me to
spread
withdraw?
It out.
You want, me to walk into the bank like, hey, I need the blank amount of money just so I can bring it in the studio? Oh, my gosh.
So you can have it for an afternoon.
That's just to feel it.
Just to feel it.
Okay,
and then,
maybe.
And then
depends
and
how
then,
much it is sells for,
and then
I
you
guess.
Can put it back in the bank right
that's,
after.
That's okay. Maybe I'll do that for you. Maybe
what's
I'll
the biggest fantasy football one you've ever won. Oh,
like
what I meant last year,
$400.
Okay.
Nothing crazy.
Because I saw a couple people mentioning big fantasy football leagues that paid big bucks. If you asked about the Guillotine League, we will update you again on that next week. But might have to look a little bit different.
Check
this
our
year.
Individual socials, probably.
Yeah, that's most likely where you are going to find out about it.
Don't forget, we are broadcasting live from Hollywood Casino, a part of our fan takeover day. We're going to be out of here till 6 o'clock, or at least the station will. Obviously, the drive taken over at 2 o'clock. Rob Britton and Jay Binkley. I'm shocked Bink isn't here yet. He did just text me and say, hey, where am I parking? I told him. So maybe he's close, guys.
Bink's been
maybe
hanging out at the station.
Let's get Binkley in for a little bit.
He was here earlier.
Fan Club Friday is coming up, but come into Hollywood Casino, your chance to win a autographed Charles Minihue football, Chiefs Colts tickets, plus Hollywood is giving out $100 in pin cash every hour. So come on by, hang out at the sportsbook with us, and of course we'll be here as a whole till 6 o'clock as the station is taking over Hollywood Casino Sportsbook today. Up next, we'll get to the Fan Club Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about who can make their debut tonight and what Drew is going to be doing tomorrow afternoon.